Hello and welcome to It's Not My Fault This Podcast Is Not Popular, coming to you from theoasg.com, where we talk about anime and manga and news and other things going on around in the Annie Blogosphere universe. I'm Muse.
I'm Justin. Hey, wait a minute. I didn't talk to you the last time this podcast happened, didn't I?
Nope. Last time Helen came on and we had a lot of fun. We went pretty off topic in some points, but it was a fun session. Where were you at?
Random anime con at Times Square. For those who somehow don't know, Times Square is in New York, which means that yes, there was an anime convention in New York. That's simultaneously cool yet odd at the same time, especially since it's in Times Square. Definitely a weird thing. So, yeah. But I bet you had fun talking with Helen while I was away. I bet.
We mostly just, I mostly just complained about the anime I was watching.
Okay.
But I want to hear about how that con went, because I saw some things on your Twitter that were, I don't want to use the word concerning exactly, but like, if I saw that stuff at an anime convention, I would be like, what is going on here?
I should probably provide a little bit of context. This is actually, the convention is Liberty City Anime Convention. This is actually their second year of existence. Their first convention was in White Plains, somewhere in White Plains, which is not quite New York City. So this is basically, they're still growing and stuff like that. Still learning. And now they also are in Times Square, which is generally a lot busier. The location was small, which I guess it's a small convention. It is what it is. So, knowing that it's a small convention, you know you're going to run into a couple things. One, it's a small convention, so it's not going to be that much stuff to do. But then two, there's also going to be little moments where you're like, okay, this can't happen at a big convention. For the 3 days I was there covering his press, it was definitely not a lot to do. There were obviously panels that were interesting to go to, but the vendor's room was really small, artist alley was pretty small, so definitely contained, which meant trying to talk to people, like, because if you go like to a bigger convention, like, yeah, you'll stop by, but then you'll quickly like probably move on to other things or find like other stuff to do. At this convention, there was this one point where I ended up having to sit down. I actually sat down a lot at the convention, like just to like catch my bearings, because there was nothing else really of note that was going on. So it was interesting from that perspective. What made it unfortunately more interesting was the fact that there was some panels that were canceled. I don't think that's nothing new, panels being canceled. This happened like at AX when I was there last year. Like there was this there was supposed to be a journalism panel last year, but that got canceled. So if it could happen at Anime Expo, it could certainly happen at any other con. So that's nothing new. But the amount of cancellations was a little bit concerning.
Yeah, that's what I saw on your Twitter. That, like you said, like cancellations happen. It's, you know, that's just how cons are. But like the number of cancellations I saw just from your Twitter alone, I was like, oh.
Like, I know it's like you look at the booklet, they have like industry support and stuff like that. So I guess like they were providing some help for the convention in small ways. G Kids, which I believe they published Ponyo? Well, I know they published Up to Poppy Hill. They also are the publishers of A Letter to Momo, both Ghibli films. They were supposed to be at the convention for Saturday. They were going to show A Letter to Momo and Paterma Inverted. They never showed up. Like they were supposed to apparently provide the DVDs, but I wanted to see A Letter to Momo, so I said, because there was nothing at the schedule or time I was wanting to do, so I said, okay, I'm gonna go watch the movie. I guess the first, I guess maybe a little bit of a sign was that it was like one of the regular panel rooms. Like they had like a video room where they show anime, but honestly, that I felt like that would have been preferred instead of just a regular panel room to show it. Like it would just use the projector and everything. I guess it wasn't that big of a deal, but Like, you have the video room, just use that. I guess the reason is they didn't want people to go to the fifth floor, which is where the video room actually was, to watch anime. So that might have been why. But it's just a small thing, nothing too big. But then it was like, the time it was supposed to start, I think it was like 1:30. But they weren't there. Like, it wasn't starting on time. And while the time kept going on, I just said, okay, let me look at the time to see how long it's supposed to run. It's apparently a 2-hour, 20-minute film. So the longer they took their time, the more I'm just like, okay, this isn't looking very good. So eventually they announced it was canceled. I ended up leaving. I came back a little bit later. They were supposed to show Paterma Inverted later on. That's when they had the, like, the big sign that said that, yeah, G-Kids was going to provide the DVDs or whatever, and they weren't able to make it. So that, it wasn't very good, because that cuts out, like, most of your content. And then there are other panels that happened that I was interested in going to, but they were also canceled. So it's just a case of, like, okay, maybe you wonder 3 days is too much. If you wonder if, I mean, for small cons, it's hard to say. You don't want to bet too many people, because, I mean, this could be their start. They have to start somewhere. So it's tough to say, like, oh, we're going to be cracking down or making sure you're legit or whatever like that. But having this many panels canceled, it's not good. I will say that, like, as always, like, while there was some bad stuff, there was some good stuff. I recorded some of the good stuff. Like, they had the cosplay on a budget panel, which I'm not into cosplay, but the title seemed appealing, and so I went, and I thought it was interesting. That was a good panel. Had this nice fireside chat with pretty much most of the guests at the convention. Most were local. There was a few that was out of state. It was mostly good. There was no problems there. It was about 50 minutes, but close enough to 47 when I recorded it. So that was pretty good. And I went to a library, anime at the library panel. It was good. It was mostly good. Just had one little hiccup at the start of it, but it was good. So yeah, it had some good stuff. I think the biggest thing that they have to try to learn for next convention, which is going to be again in Times Square, just in a different hotel, I guess better, like, communication and better line management. Like, I tweeted a picture, like, how small the location was. Like, there was, like, on Friday, there was, like, a crowd of people, like, in the hall. So it's like, okay, you have water standing right there. That just adds to, like, the complications here. And then there's, like, no, like, staff that really knows. That it didn't seem like a staff that knew where to line everybody up. So for certain panels, like, it was difficult to figure out where the line started. I guess just a communication issue. I think they had enough volunteers. Maybe too many. I don't know if there's a case where you have too many volunteers, but felt like there might have been too many. Maybe better instructions. I don't know. Working on conventions is hard. No doubt about that. But just some stuff they got to clean up. If they wanted to, like, have this, like, try to get more people to come, more guests to come, and I guess more people to come, like, from the people I talked to at the convention, that was just regular convention people, just a little bit of staff, attendees. They want a convention in New York that's, like, basically devoted to anime. Like, there's New York Comic Con, and then to an extent there's Castle Point, but the Castle Point's in Jersey. So to have that one anime convention where it's just devoted to that, people want that. Apparently they did sell out of their allotment of tickets. So at certain times when I was there, it didn't seem like it, but that was maybe because it's early in the morning and stuff like that. But it's just a case where they have some growing to do. I'll probably try to go back next year and then see how they've improved. We'll have to see from there, honestly.
Yeah, it sounds like they've got some, like, growing pains, you know, being a new con. As you said, it was their second year, right? Yeah, it sounds like they were, like, my guess would be, like, that they were trying to focus on the content, but they're so new that, you know, people weren't sure if they could take a chance on that, so they just bailed out.
Right. Like I said.
And so then they didn't have the other management down just
like
yet.
Like I said, I think 3 days might have been too... 3 days might have been too much. Well, who knows? Because, like, Friday... Or maybe the times could have changed, because it was an interesting schedule, because they didn't really start the convention until 12 o'clock on Friday. But then, like, they had Saturday and Sunday at 10. I don't know. Maybe it could just be a timing thing. It could be just that. Because when I was there Friday, it was kind of packed. It was, like, I mean, yeah, it's like a small convention, so it was obviously going to feel that way. But it definitely felt like there was a lot of people there for most of the day. And I was there till past 8 o'clock. Yeah, just about past 8 o'clock. And then Saturday and Sunday, it didn't feel like there was that many people, especially at the start. Like, about the afternoon, I guess, is when people started showing up. That's what I noticed. It might be different for other people, and especially people who came with friends. If you came with friends, you probably had the most enjoyment.
Well, you can say that about a lot.
Yeah, that's true. That is also true, too. that is definitely true. But, we'll just have to see how they bounce back for next year. See if they take some criticisms, the horror and stuff like that. Or, if nothing else, like, just try to, like, make what they can a little bit better. Like they probably should try to bring back all the guests they brought back this year, and a couple additional guests as well. That's probably it. Yeah, that's pretty much about it. I will say, like, it's so weird, honestly, having a convention in Times Square. It really is. Because just, like, have all this stuff going on, like, already in Times Square, that all of a sudden there's, like, people in, like, either orange jumpsuit, or dressed up as Madoka, or as any, like, any of the Sword Art Online characters. Thanks for adding more weird stuff to New York, guys. Really, really appreciate that. Yeah, that's all I got.
Alright, so then let's move on to the next thing, which I don't know what this is. What is this, Justin?
You don't know
Pokemon
what this
Go
is?
You're Bunny the, feature. You're I've heard Pokemon rumors Go. About it. I've whoa, heard rumors whoa, whoa. About it. It's not there's so not it's oh, not so, in the game.
Oh, so it's not official yet.
Not yet.
Oh, my bad. Well, from what I understood of it,
there's rumors going around that there's a big update coming that's going to have a buddy feature and trading and things like that. But it's not... It's like... I hope they put all these things in because they sound awesome. But as of right now, they've just had... The last update they had was they put in the official team leader art, and you can have them, like, appraise your Pokemon. That's where you got, like, people naming their Pokemon stupid things that I will not repeat because I want this podcast to keep its all ages rating.
And
then, like, saying, you know, well, I mean, you know, Apple Flag stuff, but people will, you know, I'm sure people will get what I'm getting next. I'm sure they've seen it already. But, like, people will name their Pokemon stupid stuff and then get the team later to say silly stuff about it, you know, like, oh, your blank is so adjective, you know.
yeah
and so yeah, so that's been the most recent update, but I'm really hoping that there will be some kind of friend system and trade system really soon, because like I've talked to my other friends who play it, like I have some friends overseas in Europe, and they're like, I'm drowning in drowsies, and I'm like, take some of my Zubats away from me, like like, we have duplicates of Pokemon that, like, I haven't even seen out here, so I really, really hope that they do that. Because I think that'll make the game more interesting.
Doesn't that mean you have to, like, move somewhere, though? Like, just move somewhere not where you're at to find other Pokemon?
Well, because, like for instance, like, I'm out in the Southern California desert, so there's a lot of, like, fire and ground types out here. And, like, if I went, like, 3 hours to the beach, then I get water types over there. But it's not, like, really feasible unless you're one of the people who is actually, I think it's multiple people at this point, and there are several people who have, like, quit their jobs to go be Pokemon Masters, and they've been traveling the world and stuff.
Dream.
But yeah,
but
for those of us who can't afford to quit our jobs and go be Pokemon Masters, a trading system, especially an international trading system, would be awesome.
I don't know, like, it does sound pretty good. I don't know, like, I was, like, you're not going to believe this, but my mom asked about this. My mom asked about Pokemon Go.
Uh-huh.
My mom does not, like, she knows a Pokemon because I grew up, like, buying Pokemon games. But she was wondering about that, and she wondered why it was appealing, why everybody was going crazy over it. And I explained why, and she actually went like, ooh. And I'm like, Mom, I'm
yeah,
not
just
playing
that,
the game.
That real life
You don't
component.
Have to play the game. You don't have to do it.
My mom's not playing it either, but she kind of took it in stride, like, when I first started playing the game. Like, that's still my pinned tweet when I caught my Snorlax. When that happened, I grabbed my hat, and I was just like, okay, Mom, I'm going to be back in, like, 5 minutes. I got to get a Snorlax that's down the street. And she's just like, okay, bye. Just kind of took it in stride, just like, okay, be safe. Keep your hat on. Just like...
Not, you know what, and hearing that, now I kind of hope they don't add that buddy system. Like, I think they're supposed to, like, the Pokemon, you're actually supposed to have the Pokemon behind you or something like that. I think that's what they
yeah,
heard.
I've heard that as well, that they're, again, like, that's speculation, because there's, somebody found something in the app code, that was, like, that you can, what was it, it's like you can set one of your Pokemon as, like, your friend or something, so people immediately related it to that system in the game from Yellow.
Like, how was
in
the show, right? Like, how was the anime, right? Like, Pikachu.
Yeah, like, it's
like
Ash and
Pikachu.
Yeah, right, like, and they put that in Pokemon Yellow, where Pikachu followed around behind you, and then they brought that back for Soul Silver and Heart Gold, where the Pokemon follow around behind you, so people immediately assumed, oh, there's gonna be Pokemon following behind you in Pokemon Go, which is another thing that would be awesome. But is not officially confirmed. So,
okay. Oh, that's a little bit disappointing. I thought she thought that was coming. My bad.
Yeah, that's a thing somebody pulled from the game data, which again would be totally awesome. I hope they do that, but it's not official just yet.
I think that will. Well, I guess people are still playing Pokemon Go, right? I just keep hearing, like, people, I guess, aren't playing it as much, or I guess it's at that downturn now?
Yeah, because, well, like I went back to work, people went back to school, so there's not as much time. I bet it'll probably, you know, pick up again around holiday breaks and stuff like that. It's like, I'm definitely playing it a lot less than I was, but I'm still, you know, like, checking it and all that. Like this morning, I just checked it randomly, and I caught a Rapidash, which I was like, holy crap! So that was cool, but yeah, it's just like, I was, like, you gotta expect the downswing eventually, and they might be saving, you know, this big, massive rumored update for, you know, whenever it calms down enough, you know, to get interest back.
They're gonna add the Johto Pokemon. There you go, that's your big update.
Yep.
Well, actually, don't they have to, like, focus on don't they have to focus on, like, bringing the legendaries at some point?
Yeah, they keep promising that. That was another thing. Like, a couple people actually, like, got legendaries, but they were, like, glitches and stuff. So, like, the data's there, but they haven't been officially put out just yet. They said stuff that, like, you have to, they're, like, events or something, but Niantic hasn't said what they really mean by that, so.
Oh.
Who knows?
Yeah. They should probably get on that at some point.
Yeah,
I think.
If it ends up being like that trailer where it was like Mewtwo and Times Square or whatever, it's just like, I'll probably just be like, well, time for a road trip. Gotta go get Articuno.
Get on that plane, get to Times Square. Oh my god. Oh no, please no. New York can handle a lot of things, but I don't think it can handle like 80 million people trying to fit into Times Square.
I mean, we already had like stampedes over Dragonite and stuff like that.
Yeah, I still I still saw that video and I'm just amazed. I was dumbfounded. Well, look at it this way: if people can go crazy over Vaporeon and Central Park, and then go that crazy with a Dragonite and just a riddle of like East 50 something street in New York, I can't imagine how it'll be when Mewtwo is just randomly shows up on Times Square. In fact, it probably won't be a random thing. Niantic will probably like announce when it'll be available. They'll be like, it's in Times Square only. People will make plane trips. They will map out. They will get a hotel. They will map it out, and they will fill Times Square. And it will just be. They will have to hire security.
Yeah,
security
that's why.
Security will have to.
That's why I think that, like, they. That's why I think they haven't like been more specific about what they mean by the legendary events, because, like, we talked about this before. I don't think anybody expected this game to blow up as big as it has, even considering it being Pokemon. So I think, like, you know, them seeing people going absolutely crazy over, you know, rare but not as rare as legendary Pokemon, that they're like, okay, we gotta be careful about how we're gonna handle this. So
yeah. Yeah, that probably is it too. Yeah, they don't. They probably don't want to hire security just for Mewtwo. Probably don't.
I mean, they probably will anyway. But
they probably since, have to. Yeah.
But since since they've had stampedes, you know, they're probably gonna have to think this one a bit through. But yeah. Pokemon is still a thing.
Yeah. Doesn't look like it's gonna take a downturn anytime soon, especially with the new video games coming out.
Oh yeah, I'm really excited for those.
Speaking of downturns, well, I guess this would be considered a downturn. I guess
we're in a new era. Looking at the script, like, whoa. Because I've been a bit out of the loop lately, oh dear.
Yeah, for those who have not missed it, who are just like, wait, what are you talking about? Or like, I never heard of this before, why should I be caring about this? Or, oh my god, this is actually ending. There's this manga, I'm not going to say its really long name, it's really, really long, so I'm going with the shortened name, Kochikame. It's going to end. Obviously you probably might know about it because it's been a Japanese serialization in Weekly Shonen Jump since 1976. Let me repeat that.
Long time.
This started in 1976 in a weekly magazine, and now it's finally going to end. Thousands of chapters. It's 200. It's going to be on 200 volumes. 200.
It's like 40 and now it's years, over. Right?
Yep, 40. Jeez. About 40 years. That's insane. And there's no, we haven't heard like any breaks, like aside from holidays, haven't heard like any breaks or sicknesses from this guy. That's insane.
That's crazy. Now
that is nuts.
A plus and to then, that and, guy.
Yeah, and then it's kind of like, we kind of thought it was like Conan, like Detective Conan, JoJo to an extent, Go-Go 13, like those are stuff that's never gonna end, like, mm-hmm. that's it. But yeah, Kochikame is gonna end, which in itself, like, I guess separately, I guess you have to acknowledge this is a long time it's been running. That's congratulations in itself.
Yeah, that's incredible.
You have to go with that. It might have to end sometime and stuff like that, but then you have to look at the other side of things. Naruto ended last year. Bleach, Assassination Classroom, Nisekoi ended this year. Gintama is supposed to end pretty soon. Well, not pretty soon, but it's on its last arc.
Yeah, it's on its last arc, right?
Its last arc. Yeah, and I believe Toriko is going to end. It's supposed to be ending as well. It's on its ending path as well. Those are works that we've grown up with, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are like, their big tentpole series.
Yeah. So, like, combined on that, like, I mean, we've heard this before. Like, oh, is it time to worry about Jump and stuff like that? And then maybe you could say, like, why is Culture Comedy the camel that breaks your straw, Justin? Why is that the one specific time? Well, it's been a longing forever. I think that's one thing. But I guess it's been putting it off for a while. But you have to. It might be fair to wonder, like, what's gonna be going on with Jump now? Like now you still have One Piece. I guess it's like halfway through its run, according to the author. It might be like a couple, like 65 or something like that percent through its run. So that's gonna be going on for a good while. But then after that, it's like, wait, what's that? What else is there? So we have My Hero Academia, which got its anime last year. That should be a series that will blow up. Like, I was talking to a blogger who believes like the first season was nice, but the second season is when it's gonna really take off, based on what he's read from the manga so far. So that's kind of exciting. So yeah, that should be one that's gonna do well. You have Food Wars. That's doing really well right now. Like, it's really intense right now. Like, holy crap, it's really intense.
That's good. That manga deserves all the praise.
it's intense right now. One day Viz should really consider just saying, you know what, screw it. If we can bring Haikyuu and Kuroko no Basket over, we can totally bring Saki K over. Anime is hilarious. They really need to, like, just bring that manga over here. But in Japan, Saki K seems to be doing well. As I mentioned, Haikyuu, and then you got Kuroko's Basketball. Then you start looking at other stuff like World Trigger. I didn't like World Trigger. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't like that at all. I kind of like Black Clover. Like, it started out pretty meh. It's gotten better as it's gone on. Like, it feels like that shonen that, like, the younger generation can actually get into. So that's neat. But then it finally feels like it's found its footing. That's good. But then, like, I wanted to look at the U.S. Like, I was trying to look up the U.S., like, Shonen Jump to see what manga they have serialized. There's this new manga that they're officially, like, have they're running, which I'm not quite a big fan on. Like it has some stuff. Like, it has potential, I guess. But, like, it involves, like, these three kids. They're stuck in, like, this farm. Or not really a farm, like, it's a children's orphanage. But the hidden subplot is, when they get to a certain age or certain, like, maturity level or something like that, or grade level, something where something determines where they actually get taken away by monsters. Like, they actually just, like, they get taken away to get to, I guess, for their brains. It has a kind of interesting premise, but I'm not sure if that's a title that's gonna do well. I guess I have to see, but they're gonna run it. Like, they've fished, like, it was supposed to be part of the Jump Start series, so they're gonna run it. But the other Jump start that they announced, like Red Sprite, I remember that name, but I can't remember the other name, unfortunately. And then there's this other manga. It's a harem manga. The premise is, you have the main character. He likes his childhood friend, but unfortunately, and yeah, he's kind of bland. He's kind of bland, but he apparently has this condition where pretty much all the girls flock to him. What gets compounded is the fact that his condition ends up, like, attracting girls from all over, like, the galaxy, like, all over the place, like monsters. Even angels. So it's weird. That is for sure.
I really want that to be like a parody manga.
It's kind of maybe a parody. The author of this did this really bad manga that I read called E-Robot, and it's this new manga is doing so much better. I'm like it's like night and day. I don't know how much, like, I don't know if it's like, maybe it'll be that harem staring part, because most shonen jump manga need that harem manga, apparently. To need that harem manga. But this probably has a lot more staying power, but
that sounds like the perfect setup for a parody of harem.
Yeah.
It's just like, get absolutely ridiculous with the kind of monsters and stuff.
Yeah.
That could be funny.
But Right. But aside from that, like, you back to like what Shonen Jump, the English version of Shonen Jump has. Aside from that, they don't really, they have like Jump Square stuff, and they have I think other Jump stuff, because they have, they serialize Yu-Gi-Oh, the, I think it's Arc 5 if I'm not mistaken. But that's it. Like, like they're gonna have to eventually like add new titles, but now they're running out of potential like tempos at the moment. So this is like you wonder, like, what's next for Jump? What's that other title that's gonna, like, I guess, be that big time title? It's, I don't know, it feels a little concerning right now.
Yeah, it's Helen and I kind of talked about that last time when we were discussing that Bleach was over, and, you know, they announced that live action movie, which I'm still kind of like, on.
Yeah.
We talked about how, like, with when we were first getting into anime, like, we're really just, like, into anime as a genre, not just individual shows. Like, in middle school and high school, those series, like, you know, we had to, there was, that was the age of the big three, and now two of those are gone. And I discussed how, like, I work with middle schoolers, and they kind of go, they're kind of going through that same thing. Like, they play Pokemon, they play Yu-Gi-Oh, they watch anime, but they're more into, like, just individual series, not really anime or manga as a whole. And I wonder, just, like, because like, the way, what I noticed when I was in middle school and high school, like, people would introduce this as a collective. Oh, you know, somebody would ask, oh, what is anime or what is manga? You know, people would point at, like, you know, the big three, like, oh, you need to watch Bleach, you need to see Naruto, you need to check out One Piece, stuff like that. And what I noticed, like, with the kids I work with now, will just be like, what is anime? And they'll be like, no, I don't really like anime, but I like Attack on Titan, or I like Tokyo Ghoul, or things like that.
Right.
And it's kind of interesting the way how that's, like, it's like, is that how it's going to be going into the future? You know, is it just, like, instead of like, this coherent, this, like, kind of brand thing where it's just, like, the Shonen Jump big three titles, is it not going to be that so much as it's going to be, like, the individual titles, how those hold up?
Right. Well, I think what kind of hurts... what I think what kind of hurts is the fact that none of these aren't shows that aren't TV. Like, I guess at a time where kids can actually watch it. Like, when we were growing up, we actually had, like, Toonami. We had, like, what was it? Fox Kids. I don't know how it was for you. I forgot what it was called, but over here in New York, we had, like, a Channel 11 in the morning. So they would show cartoons. They would show, like, Pokemon. What's the show? They showed Beyblade. Stuff like that. Like we grew up, like, okay, this is anime, we actually can, like, go to it right now and watch it. Now, maybe some kids are, they probably have computers and internet, maybe, but they may not have, some may not, they may not be able to go on the computer yet, I don't know. So it's like, how do they get into this, how do they get into the medium? And now with streaming taking
well,
more of a focus.
Well, I can speak to my kids specifically, or the ones I work with, because, like, for instance, last year we had to block Kids Cartoon and all that stuff, because okay. That's where they watch it. They get it all online through illegal methods. And that's also kind of the other angle of it. They'll get into an individual series. They'll see their friends are watching or reading something, and then that's what they'll specifically go and Google. So they don't, like, do, like, the TV block of anime the way that we grew up with it, because that's not how they consume media anymore. You know, they go online and they watch the show that their friend recommended to them, and then that's it. If they seek out other things that are similar, that's kind of up to them. But they don't get, like, you know, oh, that commercial, that show looks cool, I'm gonna watch that. You know, it's more like friend curated stuff, which is interesting in a different way.
Oh, I guess that's just to point out that there's also Boruto, which is the Naruto sequel, but like, they believe that's not gonna run long either, if not mistaken. I don't believe that's gonna run that long either.
I don't think so.
So, well, that's a good perspective, because you wonder, like, how the kids are trying to get into anime, and you wonder how they're doing it. And yeah, it's definitely, like, online. But I guess back to like, I guess the manga side of things. Like, I was trying to, like honestly, like, I was trying before, like, I was checking out more of the topic. I was trying to see, like, how the sales were doing in Japan. Like, just scrolling back as not too far, but as far as I could. And, like, there was this, like, one listing on the Oricon charts where we had, like, the top titles, like, Naruto, Assassination of the Classroom, Nisekoi up top. But then you had, like, Black Clover, which I guess is doing well in Japan. And then that's kind of about it. Like, you wonder, like, what's that new work that's going to come out of the woodwork and be that next big title?
Yeah, because Attack on Titan has kind of calmed down. And that's not a Shonen Jump thing.
Well, yeah, that's... Yeah, it's not a Shonen Jump thing. Yes, but... Yeah, it is one. Yep. Mm-hmm. Like, I believe, like, there's going to be, like, more... Like, the... I believe the Koshikami author, he says he's going to be doing another title after this. So I guess he just wanted to work on something new. Wait, it took you 40 years to want to work on something new, man? What's wrong with you? But, so I guess we'll see what he's got up his sleeve. It makes you kind of wonder if he wants to, like, create a work where it's more appealing to not just the Japanese audience, but to more of an American audience. I don't know. But then also, I guess the Assassination Classroom author, he might be coming up with something new. Don't know yet. He's going to be coming to New York Comic-Con. So he'll be in New York. Who knows? May make an announcement there. But, and then, of course, Kishimoto says he's going to be working on something new at some point. Just hasn't revealed it yet. But, it's you guys are starting to run out of stuff, man. Shueisha, you gotta, like, find some new people. Yeah, like, you gotta... Gotta find that golden age stuff, guys. Gotta find it. Definitely gotta be on the lookout for it. But, yeah. Definitely interesting where Jump will go from here. If I knew
stuff's obsessed over now.
Okay, so, well, let's move on a little bit from Jump to other stuff that's either ending or is restarting or is just plain weird. So, Akame ga Kill is gonna end this winter, Muse. It's gonna end at 15 volumes, which sounds like, wait, that doesn't sound like a lot, but it was a monthly series, so that kind of is a lot, actually. Yeah, it's not like it. I remember when the anime aired, it came with really good acclaim, but then I watched the anime and it wasn't that good. Sorry, Akame ga Kill. Sorry, guys. A little bit of a shame, but. Well, it is what it is. Have you heard about Akame ga Kill?
I mean, I know of it, but I never really got into it or know too much about it. Just it didn't look like something for me at all, so I just kind of avoided it.
Just people just getting killed in weird ways that totally didn't appeal to you?
Yeah, just a general, like, I think did it have an anime a while ago? Or something like that. I remember, for some reason, I read the premise, and I was like, nah, you guys have fun with that.
Oh, well. It was a significant title for a time, so I think it's interesting that that's going to be ending as well. I have no idea who's alive at all. But who knows? I guess it'll end well for the manga fans. And news that mostly interests me. I remember when I was growing up, Yu-Gi-Oh! GX used to air. It was on TV. I was watching it on a good basis. Then it stopped. I was kind of mad. I was really young at the time. I don't think I did anything stupid, silly, really stupid or anything like that. But I was like, really? How's this gonna end like this? Like, why? Just, like, it just felt like it was not conclusive at all. Then I realized that there was a season 4. It never actually was dubbed at all. Like, it just, like, that was it. But thankfully, Crunchyroll is gonna stream it. So, yeah, season 4 of Yu-Gi-Oh! GX is on Crunchyroll. that means I can finally finish it. Or for me, I probably just start over because it's been too long since I watched it. Try to catch up to some stuff.
I never knew that it didn't finish airing in the U.S. That's interesting because I watched the say original, but not like the season zero Yu-Gi-Oh stuff. But I watched the Duel Monsters half of it, that whole bit, and then when GX came on, at first I was really excited for it, and then it was nothing like the first part of Yu-Gi-Oh, so I lost interest really fast, and I think I just stopped watching Yu-Gi-Oh after that, so never knew that. That's interesting.
Oh man, GX was fine. Wasn't anything bad. How dare you?
But yeah, I was just like, I was in middle school at the time, so I was incredibly judgmental of everything. Or I think I might have been in high school by that point. Something like that. I was like really picky. I was like, this is beneath me, all that stupid stuff. I'm like, now I'm just like, if something doesn't interest me, I'm just like, it just doesn't interest me. But like, it's cool if other people like it. But like, I was in that phase where I like openly bashed things. But I'm really glad I grew out of that.
Oh boy. Okay, I'm going to pose a different question to you, Muse. Do you think it'd be interesting to see random doujinshi at your shopping mall?
I'm sorry, what? Doujinshi? Like, all ages, yeah, is cool. That's all ages would be fine by me.
No, I mean the 18, the plus 18, maybe into 21 age, that the hentai part.
Yeah, no hentai at my local mall, please.
Yeah, well, unfortunately for one shopping mall, all the way in a name, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna butcher Zaporozhye, in the Ukraine. There was apparently a store, or apparently like there was like an advertiser on the plasma screen there, where somebody had put an English translation of New Game, which is a show which is centered around female. Female girls.
I already know where this is going. Oh no.
Yeah, in a game that video games, they're trying to make a video games. They had the doujinshi of that on the large plasma screen. And it was on the screen for 15 minutes.
So like the cover or like the
content? I'm gonna assume the content. Because unfortunately customers came in and complained to the people in like I guess the store or whatever. And the store's defense, they can't actually see what's on the app. Like, I guess for them, like, they just had random advertisements, so it's just like, it's just a normal thing. But then I guess people went to them and said, hey, what the heck are you showing this thing here?
Oh my gosh.
I wanted to know what exactly was shown, and apparently it involved, well, this is literally like skimming what actually happened, but it involved, I guess, one of the main characters and a fat man.
Oh, it was that kind of hentai.
Yeah.
I got you. Yeah, I can see why they got complaints.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So they're investigating what's happening. They assume they got hacked or whatever. That's apparently the best way to get into anime or manga, I guess. Reading a doujinshi without knowing what the only context you see is stuff happening.
And then the show is nothing like that.
That's the thing. The show is nothing like that. There is no fat. In fact, I don't think there's a guy in the show.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I'm like, I don't actually think there are even any guys in New Game at all.
Like what is this? So yeah, that's a like, especially for like if there are kids passing by, that's a great way to learn what's going on in your world. It really is.
Yeah, it's like, look, the dark underbelly of anime. If you go any further, you will see this a lot.
Yeah, well, I can only imagine what would happen if my parents like saw that at all and at the shopping mall. Can only imagine.
Oh jeez.
But they might actually like be violent. I'm kidding.
If that happened at my mall, oh man, people would be really mad.
But yeah, that's about all the news that I could scrounge around. Honestly,
yeah, that
I just thought the new game
wild.
One was really hilarious.
Oh man.
So yeah. think that's about it in terms of news, right?
Looks like that's it in terms of anime and manga news.
Yep, so I guess it's time for that introduction,
time to
right?
Close things out a bit. So I'm Muse. You can find me at SubduedFangirl on Twitter and most other social media websites.
And I'm Justin. You can find me at Kami _ Nomi. So that means if you have heard of the Rogue Alley Knows and you've heard of Kami Nomi, just make sure you add the underscore between the I and the N. You'll find me on Twitter. There you go. And that would be a wrap. Except Muse has some news, I think. Muse, you do have some news, right?
Yeah, I have an important announcement as far as this podcast goes, especially. I'm going to be leaving the OASG. So I'm also going to be leaving this podcast.
Her official last day is September 7th. Don't panic yet. Okay, panic. No!
Well, that's the day we're going to attempt to get this episode out, right?
Yeah, that's definitely, like, when you're hearing this now, yes, that is definitely when it's supposed to come out. Yes.
By the time you are hearing this, I will have probably officially left.
Yes, she will be gone. Good riddance! It's over! It's up! No. Let me just say that Muse has been at the OASG really long time ago. If I'm not mistaken, I emailed you in 2011.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, I like your stuff. I like your writing. Could you be an anime reviewer for me? You know what you said, right?
I don't remember exactly what I said, but I remember the moment I got that email.
Okay. I still remember it because I guess someone like me that's trying to say, yeah, I want to build that website. Yeah. Remember little stuff like this. You said no. Basically said, forget you, Justin. Okay, you didn't say that part. But you instead proposed to me that you like doing figures, so you said, mind if I do figure reviews? So I said, oh, okay, that's fine with me too. So you ended up joining the site as a figure reviewer.
Mm-hmm.
Which made sense, actually. It really did. And I guess your role has evolved as the years gone on, and you still grew up with the site. And then we started at WordPress and moved to the Kokito.com sub-hosting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would do, other stuff. Like, you would, join us for, anime collaborations. We'd just write about conventions, Anime Expo. And then even today, your footprints are on the OASG. When I decided I wanted to go move the site, I said, I should probably either A, go with somebody I know and trust, and kind of somebody I've actually met in person. And then, I guess that was when it started. That's when I said, oh, hey, Muse, think you want to kind of help me try to build this website a little bit? And then, thankfully, you said yes. And the reason this podcast is actually starting was because of Muse. It's good to announce that it's not actually going to end officially.
I didn't completely
Helen
kill it off.
Helen will be taking over... Yes, Helen will be taking over Muse's duties, so you'll be listening to her for the couple years, hopefully. So hopefully we'll be able to take care of the podcast. But Muse, first you want to say thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule, out of your, I guess, your time, because obviously I'm not paying you. So I really appreciate you taking just time just to try to help me out and just trying to help me build this site.
Oh, thank you so much, because it didn't really hit me how long it had been until you sent out the email to the rest of the staff about this going on. It had been since 2011. I was like, oh crap, yeah, it has been that long. Because I said earlier, I remember when you did email me that first time, and I had been playing around with the idea of doing figure reviews for my own, now I think 2 years dead now, blog, anime blog. And I had just gotten back from a trip to Little Tokyo, and I was, I remember I was sitting at my desk in my dorm room holding a figure box in my hand, just planning this out in my head. And then I checked my email and I saw your email, and your original pitch was for me to do more episodic anime blogging over there, like how I was already doing on my blog. And I was like, no, wait, I've got something better for you. I've been planning out. So that was how that got started. And obviously that tapered off over the years. I've slowly been running out of space. And money.
Oh yeah, you should really take a picture of your space now.
Oh, yeah. It is a mess. Yeah, it is a mess. I am not documenting this until I clean it up. But like figures are still. But I still like follow all that news and everything. Like, I mean, I don't have monthly AmiAmi orders anymore because I can't afford it at the moment. But like, for instance, they have those Undertale figures coming out from Fangamer, and I'm like, yes, give them to me. That was like the one piece of merch I really wanted was figures.
Look, Muse. Nobody's gonna be complaining if you show your figures right now, even if it's a mess. I'm serious.
No, I am like, right it now, is bad. It's really bad. But no, if I clean it, if I get to a point where I clean it up, I will definitely show off what I have at the moment. But getting back on topic off my figure rant. But one of my other goals when I first started my anime blog was because I was kind of a loner in college, and I had a lot more free time in my hands than other people did. So I ended up starting my anime blog because I wanted to meet other people who were like me and who I could rant with about anime and, you know, just connect with people, basically. And one of the big reasons I got so involved with the site was because I finally found that through this site. You know, I found people who I really related to and people who I could talk to and fangirl with and people who I felt that accepted that part of me. So thank you for giving me that chance to make some good friends. And the past 5 years have been crazy, but really awesome. I've made such good memories, and I don't know if I can even put it all together at the moment, but even though I'm leaving because of just timing and other things, because I've been really afraid of burnout over the last few months, and that was one of the reasons why I decided to step down, because I could feel it happening, and I didn't want that to happen. But doing this has given me a lot of confidence back, and I've discovered so many different things that I'm interested in because of this, and because of the friends I made. So thank you too.
I know what you said, fangirl, while you was talking about that. I know what you said it. Yep. I was like, oh,
subdued fangirl. That's not really accurate anymore. I finally, because for those of you who don't know, my old anime blog was called Subdued Fangirling because I was terrified of letting people know how much of a nerd I was. And 5 years ago, that was a big fear. And now I don't really care anymore. not to the point where, like, I want to be publicly known as a weirdo or whatever. Like, I know when things are, you know, appropriate and that kind of stuff. But I'm not afraid of, you know, letting people know that I love something anymore, I think is the point. And being part of this site has been part of that, of me, you know, embracing, you know, that if you love something, then don't be afraid of people who are going to judge you for that, because they don't get it. If you're having a good time and you're having fun with friends and it makes you happy and it harms no one else, then who cares?
Well said, Muse. Well said. So I guess would it be fair to say what's next for you?
So yeah, what's next? I don't know, but I've gotten through Undertale fandom. I've gotten back into writing and drawing a lot more, especially the drawing. I started drawing again for the first time in I think 9 years or something like that. Like, I almost didn't draw anything for about a decade, and I've been slowly teaching myself how to do digital art, and I've got some projects in the works that are mostly fan related at the moment, but I've got like scripts and things that I wrote in school that I'd like to turn into webcomics or something like that. So I'd like to take like the little extra time I do have when I'm not at my jobs, and just kind of turn around and, you know, maybe give back some original content, because I love being a fan. I love enjoying things, and that's my big dream, is to do that for someone. You know, give them a world that they love and want to be a part of, that might inspire them in turn in the way all these things throughout the years have inspired me. So that's my big hope for the future.
Well, needless to say, you know I have your back. You know the OSG will have your back. So I wish you good luck. You're always a friend. You always stop by. So don't be a stranger.
No, I definitely won't be a stranger. And thank you so much. And you'll always be a good friend to me. And also to everyone on the team. I love you guys, and you've been awesome. And a little bit before this podcast started, Helen texted me online. She's like, you know I'm going to drag you back on this podcast. So so you'll probably...
especially for that cosplay one,
right? We've been kind of offhand planning the cosplay one, especially since that last episode we went on a cosplay tangent. So you'll probably be hearing that in the future. So so definitely...
Yeah, you still got that one
more definitely thing. Not the last you're one hearing of me, thing. But I just won't be as big of a... part in all of this anymore, but it's been really good. It's been awesome, and so thank you for helping me reach my goals of making friends and becoming a more independent human being.
And I guess with that, we'll have to sign off until the next podcast. Guess that'll be it. See you guys next time,
guys. Bye.